Building collaborative teams is a really critical part of the innovative leader's role. Leadership of innovation will require working with other groups in making effective innovation processes yield good outcomes. Now, creating good groups for innovation processes is a little bit different than just creating groups for almost any other dynamic. Since innovation is really a critical process that is unique to creating new ways of doing or new products and services, it requires an essentially different configuration of relationships and interactions between and among the members of a group. The innovation team is made up based on the purposes and the direction and the intent of the innovation. It's not based on roles or rules or positions, but simply reflects in its membership the resources needed and found necessary to undertake the innovation process. Recently, in a Harvard Business Review article in November 2007, Grattan and Erickson discuss 8 ways to build the kinds of teams that are necessary for the level of collaboration appropriate to the innovation process. I thought it would be valuable to kind of adapt these 8 ways to build collaborative teams in a framework that would focus on some of the issues of innovation leadership in putting together the kinds of groups that are necessary for the innovation collaborative processes to bear fruit. The first thing that Grattan and Erickson really point out is the recognition that there are 4 traits that are essential to good team formation, but also these 4 traits do a lot to undermine the effectiveness of good team formation. The first trait they identify is large size. In the traditional approach to work groups, teams rarely had more than 15 to 20 members. But now findings begin to show that size has increasingly significantly because of new technologies and the requirement to have broad-based stakeholders involved in the innovation process. Now, the coordination of a very diverse set of activities and the harnessing of a multiple variety of skills from a number of different places in the organization now affects the size of these work groups, especially in innovative work teams, because of the need to have the right resources at the table. Sometimes these groups can be anywhere between 20 and 100 members. However, the research that they draw on shows that the size of a team increasing beyond 20 members causes a relative level of decline in the amount of cooperation and effective interaction between the group, which means not so much that the group size has to be reduced, but simply means that the way in which the group is managed has to change from that which would normally be present if the group was generally under 20 members. The second indication for effective groups is diversity. Often one of the most challenging tasks facing the leader in putting innovation groups together is the rapid assembly of the right people from the right kinds of backgrounds and with the appropriate skills necessary to lend the right level of interest to the innovation process around which they meet. This diverse knowledge and the diversity of views can certainly do a lot to stimulate the development of new thinking and insights and innovation process. However, Grattan and Erickson's research shows that the higher the proportion of people who don't know anyone else on the innovation team, and the greater the diversity of members on that team, the less likely the team members are to share knowledge. The third collaborative conundrum, if you will, or important factor, is the issue now of virtual participation. more complex organizations and broad-ranging organizational structures and the teams that come out of them now have members who are working at a greater distance from one another than ever before. Here, the logic is that those with assigned tasks will require insights and knowledge of people from a variety of locations in order for those tasks to be well-informed and well-directed. Team members may now be working in offices either in the same building or in the same city or in the same structure, or they may be working in broad-ranging offices not at all related to each other, yet still must relate to each other with regard to changing innovation processes that may be connected to each other. Only 40% of teams in the sample that Grattan and Erickson studied had members all in one place. Their research showed that as teams become more virtual, the collaboration inside of teams declines. Finally, the fourth collaboration characteristic that's important to the collaborative process and to the success of teams is high education levels. Complex collaboration, which is common today across organizations, generate huge value by drawing on a wide variety of deeply specialized skills and knowledge by very specialized participants in order to develop new insights, seek new solutions, or even create new products. However, Grattan and Erickson's research further shows that the greater the proportion of highly educated specialists on any given innovation team, the more likely that team is to disintegrate into unproductive conflicts between the disciplines or the fields of expertise. So clearly, a strength in a team can also be a source of its weakness. So the innovation leader needs to be aware of the potential inherent in group size, in the diversity of the group, in the amount of virtual participation, and in the number and degree of education levels or specialty focus that might be at the innovation table and a part of the group process. Being aware of both the potential and of the negative impact of each of these will help strengthen, number one, the approach that the innovation leader takes with regard to group formation, and then number two, the results and impact of group formation and the accommodations of some of the deficits that might need to be a part of structuring these groups for deliberation and decision making. Now, it's also important for the leader to remember that the ability of the innovation group to succeed depends on the degree of commitment made by the organization and its most senior leaders to the efforts of innovation that the group is undertaking. Remember, the innovation group is undertaking processes that fulfill the strategic or directional imperatives of the organization, for which senior level executives are fundamentally responsible. And so it's very important for the innovation leader to realize that in constructing innovation teams and groups, that that group be clear about its purpose, its direction, and the support that it will get from the system. Executive level support is simply no longer an option. The supporting social relationships, the behavioral relationships, the strategic direction that's provided, and the ability of the innovation group to fulfill the goals of the organization with regard to the innovation process around which they've gathered is critical to the ability of this group to succeed. The group needs to know in clear terms what their agenda is, the source of that agenda, and the kind of senior executive support they can expect to get with regard to the fulfillment of that agenda. Now, one of the elements of the support of senior level of executives is the recognition that they are essentially supporting the kinds of social and interactive relationships that are a fundamental mechanism within which the group will unfold. It's what we have actually identified in other podcasts with regard to network leadership. Building the relationships, the interactions, the behaviors, and the patterns of relationships that are necessary to sustain people's sense of trust, of interaction, of collaboration, and of partnership that are really critical to facilitating this model of problem solving, planning, and decision making. The senior executive creates the context for building and maintaining the necessary social relationships that will cascade throughout the organization. Remember, innovation teams are designed essentially to depend on strong levels of good communication, an increasingly diverse yet critical exchange of ideas and notions and applications, and the creation of a sense of trust that represents a real community of innovation among those who make up the innovation team. So the whole structure of the innovation process requires that degree of commitment and intensity of relationship that is represented in the senior team, senior leaders' level of social construct which supports these kinds of relationships and makes sure that the value and the work and the effort of the innovation team is fulfilling a goal and an obligation for the organization and is being fundamentally supported by the organization's own commitment to the innovation team's deliberative processes and creative ventures. Secondly, the organization must create a condition and a set of circumstances where modeling collaborative behaviors becomes the business of the leadership in the organization. In organizations where senior executives and managers demonstrate highly collaborative behaviors themselves, the teams at every level of function in the organization begin to parallel and represent those collaborative behaviors in their own work groups. Managers must be able to demonstrate their own collaborative talent and skill in relationship to each other and in relationship to their staff. Managers must be able to indicate through their own mutual relationships with other managers that they too have collaborative interactions and behaviors there. In some organizations, managers act for each other or fulfill each other's role when one is not present, or take each other's places on various committees and structures and functions in the organizations so that they can demonstrate to the staff this mutual availability and interchangeability of roles as they represent the management role at the table. We want to be able to see this at the innovation team level as well, where people can provide different kinds of leadership in an emergent way, but also be able to play different roles and fulfill different expectations simply because they are members of the team. And through that collaborative process and the behavior that collaboration represents, that culture of collaboration, the challenge to make behavior equitable and trusting and parallel, will become a way of doing business in the organization, simply a way in which the collaborative team behaves because that's the expectation of behavior at all levels of leadership in the organization. Third, a part of the requirement for making a collaborative team effective is what's called creating a gift culture. Mentoring and coaching, especially informal mentoring and coaching, helps people build on the networks they need to work across any kind of organizational boundary and to be able to include players that need to be present to deliberation and to dialogue into the process without barriers or limitations. This means that mentoring and collaborative and coaching behavior becomes embedded in the management routine, and therefore becomes a behavior and a practice that operates throughout the organization. This means looking at both the formal mentoring and the informal mentoring processes. Now, formal mentoring means that there are clear roles, responsibilities, and a part of the capacity of leadership that defines the specific expectations with regard to mentoring and leadership opportunities and obligations. But we also need to focus on the less formal, informal processes where mentoring is integrated into everyday activities so that it becomes a part of the relationships that people have with each other. In innovative organizations, action and relationship is transparent. And this level of transparency is really critical to creating a successful set of relationships and patterns of behavior in the organization. And so a part of what we want to begin to do in innovative organizations is to expect that everybody plays a mentoring role to every other role, whether it be new, whether it be older roles, whether it be parallel roles, or whether it be partner roles, that mentorship with regard to various capacities and skills related to the activity of the innovation group or team is expected of every member, and that it becomes a part of the pattern of relationship and behavior so that people see themselves as fundamentally supportive towards each other and with each other. Fourth, for the innovation leader, nothing is more important than having the right skills at the group table with regard to the innovation processes. You know, many of the factors that support collaboration relate to what are called containers of collaboration, the kind of underlying culture and habits and behaviors and performance expectations of the group or team. However, some of the problems that relate to good collaboration relates to whether people are skilled enough to actually undertake collaborative activities. Skills in relationship and interaction and dialogue and communication are learned skills. Some people come with them, most people don't. Therefore, a part of the collaborative process and a part of building the effectiveness of the collaborative team is making sure that the skills necessary for the kind of collaboration that is expected in the innovation team is available to all of the members, and that members who have a deficit in terms of the skill applications that they need in their role can get access to them, can learn, or can be mentored in terms of the kinds of skills necessary to thrive in group process. Group process demands certain kinds of patterns of behavior and interaction, some formal, some informal. Knowing what these are, knowing the characteristics of their application, and knowing whether you have them or not is really critical to effective membership in the innovation team. Therefore, leaders of the innovation team must be clear about what basic collaborative skill sets are essential to members of the collaboration team, what skill sets are necessary to certain members or to all members, and what vehicles are available to make sure that they have access to these skills where they need them. Also, in constructing innovation group, the leader really wants to look at the careful distribution of skills and, if possible, to make sure as much diversity of the essential skills for deliberation is present in the members of the group, and that each member can have something unique and specific that they, as individuals, can offer other members of the team when such education, development, or learning needs to be a part of the development of the team's collaboration and interaction with each other. Factor leads to the fifth critical element in successful collaboration. And that's really supporting the building and the maintaining of a strong sense of community. Now, we know that community spirit can really develop spontaneously. But the truth is, community spirit is something that is as carefully constructed and observed as any other factor in a group's process. Nothing in group dynamics is accidental. Everything that makes a group effective can be known and anticipated and should be carefully evaluated to determine whether its presence is contributing to the work of the group and moving the group in a meaningful way. A sense of community means that cultivating identification and relationship around the innovation task, creating a mission or a passion around that task, engaging and developing full ownership with regard to those tasks and outcomes of every member of the team, and valuing the contribution and the significance of each member to the innovation process, all helps create the conditions for a community-based approach to the team's functions and actions. In order for the innovation team to actually succeed, these teams need the involvement and expertise of different parts of the organization that will help them build a culture of value and maintain their value over time. Now, there needs to be a strong commitment to building the kinds of connections between members and between members and resources necessary to make the team successful. The goal of the innovation team is that it be successful in its work. It should also be the goal of the organization as a whole. So, from the senior levels of the organization all the way through the functional levels of team management, the commitment to their success, the valuing of their work, the critical enumeration of their colleagueship and their support of each other, and the continuous and dynamic growth and development of team members in the process of innovation all contribute to developing a real sense of community and value in the team. Even when the team's work is done and the team has been disbanded and moved throughout the organization, the skills that are learned, the talents, the relationships, the insights that are developed can be carried to other places in the network. And as the network continues to unfold and the skills continue to get refined and parties continue to cooperate, trust, and relate to each other, these skills can be expanded and grow and be even more strongly represented in all of the other places of the network system in the organization. Now, building the sense of community helps lead to the sixth major factor that makes successful innovation teams, and that's assigning team leaders that have the insight and the skill to be both task and relationship oriented. Leadership of the team process and the innovation process is really critical to the effectiveness of the team. Team leaders are always looking at the relationship between and among members of the team inside of the team, the relationship of the team to its task, and the relationship of the team to its external circumstances, conditions, and organization. This fundamental note of relationship between and among the various categories of the organization, and especially in terms of the essential relationships necessary to sustain the trajectory and activities of the team, and its interface with the task focus, the work of the team, the need to achieve outcomes, is a critical skill set and work role of the innovation team leader. These sort of ambidextrous team leaders, those with both relationship and task skill, is kind of a core goal of team leadership development. The organization needs to make sure that all of the leadership development processes include the expectation of the balance between relationship and task skills. As evidence of this relationship, managers need to be asked to describe in their peer network and to cite examples in specific ways in their network that they have been able to demonstrate or have not been able to demonstrate the intersection between good human relationship skills and good task focus. It takes one to be able to do the other. The innovation team must produce an innovation product, but you cannot produce that product if you cannot sustain the dynamics, the interaction, the communication, the relationship, and the behaviors in the team necessary to accomplish that end. Number seven is building what's called the heritage relationships in the innovation team. Remember, we had mentioned earlier that when too many team members are strangers in large teams, people are reluctant to interact and to share necessary knowledge and insights as they develop their team relationships. So for the team leader of the innovation team, a best practice is to actually put at least a few of the members on a team who have some history of relationship with each other. Now, this history of relationship with each other among few members can generate to other members of the team over time and demonstrate a level of trust that can in some way cascade towards other members of the team. Now, given how important trust is to actually making sure that collaboration is successful, teams that can capitalize on pre-existing or what are called heritage relationships really increase the chance that they can be successful. New teams, particularly those with a high proportion of members who were strangers at the time of formation, find it difficult if that can't be demonstrated or can't be broken through by those who have long heritage relationships to break through in a way that represents a good, strong social interaction that will generate sharing and communication and collaboration among team members. Now, a part of developing that is trying to think through that heritage relationship as a part of team construction. Remember, newly formed teams are generally forced to invest a significant amount of time and effort in building trust in the relationships. So, facilitating that by including members who already have previous history or pre-existing relationships and can demonstrate and represent in their behaviors and their patterns and their communication what the trusting relationship looks like and be able to model and mentor that in their own interactions can break down some of the barriers and build some of the foundations necessary for establishing more trusting relationships. It also helps if the innovation team leadership takes measures to cultivate networks that cross boundaries so that some of these relationships can be built ahead of the team necessity, so that you're building in the culture of the network of the organization opportunities for people to build relationships across networks, across systems, across departments, so that some level of diverse long-term relationships can be represented by what has been built across the network of relationships in the organization. Finally, the issue of clarity and ambiguity with regard to task and assignment. Now, remember that ambiguity is an enemy of accountability, and clarity is essential to the exercise of accountability. An innovation team needs as much clarity around expectations, performance, work, and process as any other kind of group, if not more. So clarity may not necessarily be aligned to the actual product or service or outcome that will be achieved, since that's the fruit, essentially, of the collaborative process. But clarity with regard to the process and the dynamics and the relationships essential to build it is really important, as well as the clarity with regard to the purpose, to the task, and to the effort to which all have been gathered in the innovation team. So two arenas of clarity are appropriate. The purpose, the intent, the direction, the outcome, the value for which the innovation team has been gathered is certainly clarity level number one. As specific and as clear as that can be, more important and more viable for the effectiveness of the team and its work. The second level of clarity is the level of clarity around process, method, technology, technique, relationship, expectation, performance, and membership. All of the things related to good process. The techniques and applications and relationships associated with good process, and the clarity with regard to what that will be is as important to the process as the goal and the outcome is. Therefore, a good innovation team leader focuses on these two arenas of clarity so that the work of the team is purposeful, directed, content-rich, and has an infrastructure and a process and a discipline, if you will, that works to serve and support the activities of the team and the direction of that innovation team in undertaking its work. Failure to do this really creates a significant delay in both the timing and the intensity of the work that the innovation team has to undertake. As much careful preparation and forethought in these arenas makes a critical contribution to the effectiveness of team formation, of establishing the team direction, and of implementing the innovation processes inside of the team that will give the team's work form and meaning and content. These eight forces, if you will, or eight factors that help lead to success in innovation teams are just a small part of the construction of teams that innovation leaders need to incorporate in their own understanding. It is important that this understanding be a part of the value of building team effectiveness and of creating ahead of time, through the process of good team construction, all of the elements and characteristics which can help innovation teams be successful and achieve the outcomes for which they were formed.